Gemara Daf Lamed Hema Beis discusses the case of Shemen. If a person consumes oil, the Gemara tells us the bracha is Bari Priya Eitz. And the Gemara immediately asks, how can that be? After all, typically speaking, if a person drinks Shemen, Azuke Mazikli, it's considered to be a form of Hezek. It causes disruption to the person, and as such, at least the bracha Bari Priya Eitz should not be recited. After all, the Gemara quotes a brisa when it comes to Achilash Truma, that if a person is Shoset Shemen Shel Truma, Mishalim es hakeren, ena mishalim es hachomesh. Certainly he's mafshid the truma, he's obligated to replenish the truma, but he's potem en hachomesh because, again, that's not considered to be a standard form of achila. So therefore, why would you recite the bracha of borei priya eitz? And if you'll tell me that the reference is not the straight shemen, but the way shemen would normally be consumed in some form of combination, that also the Gemara writes is highly unusual, because after all, that if it is Al-Yedei Pas, so in such a case, Pas would be the Iker. You wouldn't recite a brach at all, even if it's Al-Yedei Anigron. Anigron is considered to be Iker. So therefore the Gemara raises that, where do you find Shemen in combination where the Shemen is considered to be that which is Iker, and therefore the bracha would be a bracha Bari Priya Eitz. So the Gemara says that Hacha Mayaskin, we're talking about a case of Choshesh Begrono, where a person has somewhat of an ailment. In such a case, the Shemen is in combination, and yet it is still considered to be Ikar. And in that case, one would recite the bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz. One perhaps would have thought, the Gemara says, that it's the refuah, and therefore, velo levarich klal, maybe no bracha. The Gemara says, no, undeniably a person is receiving ana, and in such a case, the bracha in fact is recited. But straight shemen, the Gemara writes, one would not argue that there is a bracha Borei Pri Ha'etz, because azuke maziklu. Rashi points out, azuke maziklu means legufe, that is considered to result in harm to the individual. And Rashi writes, as a result, the enzo achila shetuuna bracha, such form of achila that harms a person, that is not what warrants any bracha. And Rashi cites the pasuk, after all, when it comes to bracha, the achal toksiv, and that which is mazik, kesa adam, is not considered to be the achalta. So therefore Rashi is chiddush that, again, based on the pasuk, the achalta, the pasuk of Birchas Hamazon, the achalta the savata, and therefore achila means that which a person would typically benefit from, as opposed to something which causes hezek to the goof. And furthermore, Rashi writes that as a result, no bracha is recited at all. If you look again at Rabbi Yonah in our sugya, you look at the Ritva in our sugya, that's what they assume as well. Lahalocha, similar to Rashi Shita, and that is when the Gemara says Azuki Mazik, it means that no bracha is recited in any shape or form. If you look, however, at the Yesh Mefarshim of the Ritva writes that when the Gemara tells us Azuki Mazik Luhu, it doesn't mean that it's harmful to the body. If a person drinks Shemen, he is not nehene from the shemen, and as a result, right, simply he is wasting, he's ruining the shemen. Mafsidas ha-shemen al-yedei achilasa. A person is just wasting the shemen without benefit, and therefore you don't recite a bracha. When the Gemara says Zuki Mazik, Ritva suggests it's not referring to the person, but rather it's referring to the Shemen. Why does the Ritva write that this is true? Because Fashrub Shat, in order to explain why you would not recite a bracha, you don't have to come on to Mazik es haguf. It's something that is absolutely detrimental. The fact that a person is not deriving benefit from the achila, that is sufficient in order to argue that a bracha should not be recited. So therefore, the way Rashi understands Azuki Maziklu, it's Mazik es haguf, and therefore no bracha. You don't have to go so far. Mamish lo nechalei mamish. Even something which is aluich paslay, in the sense that there isn't anos haguf, that would not warrant a particular bracha. But the common link of both Eos and the Ritva and Rashi Shita is that you don't recite any bracha at all. And this is against the Rambam Shita. When you look at the Rambam in Achos Brachos Kereches Alocha Beis, the Rambam writes the following Chiddush, that when the Gemara tells us Azuki Mazikle, this is just explaining why it is that no bracha Borei Pri Ha'etz is recited. After all, the Gemara tells us that an shemen mevarach alei borei pri ha'etz. The Gemara says, how can that be? Azuki mazeklu. And therefore, the bracha pri ha'etz is inappropriate. But the Rambam writes, but nonetheless, one is obligated to recite a bracha of shahakom. It's interesting the Rambam does not mention the reason of the Gemara Zuki Mazikle. Loshon HaRambam simply is Lo Nehene B'Tam HaShemen. And as a result, you don't recite the specific bracha. When it comes to Shemen, but a bracha of Shahakal is in fact recited. Good. So therefore, Machlokes Rashi the Rambam, whether no bracha at all, that's how we assume Lalach and Simon Reish Beis, or the Rambam sheet that no bracha sa'ez, but a bracha of Shahakal is in fact necessary. Furthermore, if you look in Prima Gadim, in his Pirish and Brachas, the Rosh Yosef, Prima Gadim points out, Rashi says that you don't recite a bracha Rishona, because after all, Gabe Bracha, V'achalto Ksiv. What is Rashi referring to? Gabe Bracha, V'achalto Ksiv. It means Bircha Samazon. In other words, Bircha Samazon, and then an Al Ha'etz, and Al Pri Ha'etz, and then a Bracha Rishona. Is that the a multiple jump of Rashi? So the Prima Gadim just is Ma'orah that he thinks Poshup Shat and Rashi Shita is that Bracha Achrona is the Raisa, not only Bracha Samazam, but even the Bracha Achas Me'in Shalosh is the Raisa as well, according to Rashi Shita. And that's why the Bracha Rishona is Mamish Ke'in the Raisa of the Bracha Achrona on Zayisar and Shemen, and therefore that's what Rashi points out, that when it comes to bracha achrona, achila ksir, and therefore this is considered to be that which is ke'ein daraisa. So it's a machlokis rishonim, whether alamichia, whether alagefin is daraisa, whether it's drabanan, but the Prima Gadim points out he thinks the mashmos of the Rashi Narsugya is this in fact is a din daraisa. In order to assume, for example, bracha achas mein shalosh is a din daraisa, one has to assume a couple of chidushim, poshup shat chidush number one, and that is that the need for three brachos, the Chalta, the Sabata, Uvirachta, Hashem Elokecha, three brachos is certain only the Rabbanan. Even if it's bracha achas, that's sufficient. And something else as well that we touched on, and that is the need for bris and Torah. Right? After all, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, one has to acknowledge bris and Torah as well. Is that a din d'araisa, or is that a din d'rabbanan? Poshur shad, if one were to argue that an al hamichya is in fact d'araisa as well, there's no reference in a bracha achas min shalosh too, Bris and Torah, and as a result, Poshup Shat, that would seem to indicate that even Berachas HaMazon does not require any mention of Bris and Torah at all. We pointed out Poshup Shat in it, whether it's Barais and Ochos Brachos, that Bris and Torah certainly is not the Ikub, it's only the Rabbanan. Midarais, there's no need for Bris and Torah. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Achila, right? That Tosef Es Hoda, but that's not necessary midaraisa, but Poshup Shat and Tosus, it doesn't appear that way. Tosus writes in Brachos and Daf Chav that when the Gemara debates whether women are obligated in benching midaraisa or midrabanan, why should you argue that women are exempt min haTorah from Berachas HaMazon? Rashi writes because of Yerusha Sa'aretz, and Tosus disagrees. Tosus writes it's because of Bris and Torah. It's because of Bris and Torah. And therefore, perhaps women are only obligated in benching on the level of the Rabbanan. If that's true, Poshup Shad would appear from Tosus that the need to acknowledge Bris and Torah is essential for Birchas HaMazon. Ad kedei kach, that those who are excluded from Bris and Torah are excluded from Birchas HaMazon. It doesn't sound like simply a chumra the Rabbanan of Tosef Es Hoda, but it sounds like Mikra Hadin, this is what is necessary for Birchas HaMazon. It would appear that way according to Tosus Hashit. In fact, Tosus is bothered in the opposite direction. Tosus assumes that Bris and Torah is so inherent to Birchas HaMazon, how is it possible that women could be chayiv in Birchas HaMazon? Why should it even be a suffix in the Gemara? What do women do if benching requires Bris and Torah? And women are excluded from Bris and Torah. So how can women be obligated in benching Daraisa? So Tosus writes a very great chiddush that even if you assume women are obligated in benching Nidaraisa, it means to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this food, but they don't have to mention Bris and Torah. Benching for men would be only with Bris and Torah. And benching for women would be without Bris and Torah. That's what Tosfos writes in Brachos and Daf Chaf, Rabbi Kivei Eger is about this. But the Gemara of the Nafkamina is women being motzi men in Birchas HaMazon. So what do you mean? How can women be motzi men even if they're both ablig midaraisa? So what about Bris and Torah? Rabbi Kivei Eger writes the Chiddush that women would recite the benching, but the men would have to recite Bris and Torah on their own. Right? They could be motzi them in the Ikar Nusacha of Birchas HaMazon, but those elements of Bris and Torah, Nachinami, that the men would have to recite, in fact, themselves. But it's an important issue to argue that Alamichi is, in fact, Daraisa. So the need for three brachos would not be Min HaTorah. Okay, that seems clear. But even furthermore, that any acknowledgement of Bris and Torah, you know, this is relevant in the following. Whenever you have a Sonogeya, whenever you have a Suffolk, Alamichia, Suffolk, Birchas HaMazon, Right? All those cases, like a possible kistin, we'll have to discuss. Is that a suffik deraisa? Is that only a suffik derabanan? That person has to bench a suffik deraisa? No, not necessarily. If you're yotzi midaraisa birchas hamazon, even with an ala michya, so in such a case, the suffik as to whether recite a complete birchas hamazon as opposed to an ala michya, that's only a suffik derabanan. The option is not either benching or not benching. You're going to recite something, and midaraisa, a bracha achas main shalosh is considered to be sufficient because you don't require three brachos and you don't require brisan torah midaraisa. That's a arava dikvega. That perhaps a suffik alamichin, suffik berachas hamazon is only considered to be that which is on a level of drabanan. It's an interesting chiddush. So again, so Rashi points out that we derive from the bracha achrona, right, the need for this type of achila, and this quality of achila requires that which does not cause hezek. That's what Rashi points out. Good. If you look at the Meiri in our sugya, and this is also at the language of the Ravia, right, in Simin Sariches, that what does the Gemara mean, azuke mazik? Simply the Meiri writes, velo mishani mineklau. Simply, you're not benefiting from the achila. You're not benefiting from the achila. That's even the language that the Mishnah Berurah uses in the Simen, in Simen Reish Beis, in Sivkot and Chav Zayin, that Mishnah Berurah writes, ein nehene mimeno, ein nehene mimeno. Right? In other words, in order to recite the bracha rishona, call her nehene, bli bracha. Right? So therefore, this is not considered to be hana. Why? Because in this extreme case, right, there's something which causes hezek, but again, you don't have to necessarily go ad kedekach that it's an absolute form of hezek in order to tell you that one does not go ahead and recite a bracha. So again, according to the shita of Rashi, no bracha at all. According to the Rambam, shita no bracha ve'etz, but a bracha of shahakol is in fact mentioned. If you look in Kesef Mishnah, right, on that Rambam, Perches Halacha Beis, the Kesef Mishnah just simply points out, right, how the Rambam understood our Gemara. And the Kesef Mishnah just writes that when the Gemara says, Azuke Mazikle, it is only La'afuke Mashiavar Chalavar Peyetz. However, right, you still have to recite a bracha because Afogav Dazuke Mazik, Nehene Mimenu, Nehenehu. Right, there is a measure of Hana. It is mazik, but there's a measure of hana, and the pshara is to recite a bracha of shahako. Okay, so the Kesef Mishnah just simply points out how the Rambam understood our Gemara, and the Kesef Mishnah writes in one line that afogav dezuke mazik, but nonetheless nehenehu. What exactly does that mean? Yes, nehenehu, but nonetheless azuke mazik lehu. So if you look in the Bach, in Simen Reish Beis, in the Simen, the Bach has a fascinating biur. That, you know, whenever it comes to achila, we always speak about cases of hanas goron and hanas meayim. Right? Those terms are found in the sugyan chulin and daf kuf gimel. And the Gemara quotes machlokas from Yochanan Shlakish when it comes to cases of machalos asuros. So therefore, how do we define achila? Hanas goron, Rabbi Yochanan Shita, or more than that, hanas meayim. The Gemara has an extreme, extreme case. A person goes ahead and eats a chatzi zayis of machalos asuros, and then hekio, he throws it up, and he eats, right, that very same piece a second time. So the Gemara says, in terms of hanas goron, what did he chew? Right, the palate? So there was a kazayis. In terms of digestion, there was only pachos mikashir. That's the right, the extreme example the Gemara gives, Machlokas V'yofan Ishlokish. How is it that you define Achila? Define in terms of Hanas Garon, or is Achila defined in terms of Hanas Me'ayim? Right? So that again, right, that is the Sugya, Nechuin Daf Kuf Gimel, but we pass like the view of Rabbi Yochanan, that in such a case, Hanas Garon is considered to be that which is the Koveya. That's what the Rambam writes in Perak Yudalid, Halacha Gimel, of Hilchos Machalos Asuros. That Hanas Garon. What about when it comes to elements of Dine Brachos? The Bach points out as follows, that you know what? That when a person goes ahead and drinks Shemen, there is an initial form of Hana. There is an initial form of Hana. A person is drinking Shemen, so to some extent maybe it's quenching his thirst. Maybe to some extent it's satisfying the person by consuming the Shemen. There is an initial Hanas Garam, except libasof mazik. But ultimately, right, it is not going to be satisfying at all, right? His stomach is going to start to turn as a result from that which he's had. So there is an initial form of hana, right? But there isn't ultimate hana. So therefore, b'shas hashtia, the Bach writes that nene yemeno. However, it is mazik leila basav. That is the chiddush that the Bach writes. And therefore, right, parallel to our different forms of hana, there is an initial stage of hana. Ultimately, no, there is no hana. So what happens in that particular case? Now, if that's the mitzius, for example, of shemen, that initially yes, but ultimately no. So does that warrant a bracha? Does that not warrant a bracha? So an interesting chiddush. So therefore, perhaps, well, according to the Rambam, that means a fascinating split, and that is that a bracha of shahakol, yes, but a more specific bracha of ha'etz, no. Let's assume according to Rashi Shita, no, that's not true. According to Rashi Shita, no bracha at all is recited in that particular case. But that's how the Bach seems to indicate, that an initial hana, even though the basov, it is not true. If you look in Egletal, the Egletal somewhat parenthetically, right, raises this issue. It's found in the Melach of Tochein. It's found in Samach Beis in Oz Gimel. And it's also found in Avni Nezer, right, in Simen Kufchav Dalet. There the Egletal seems to write that the opposite is true. There the Egletal writes the case in the Gemara of Shemin is where there really isn't an Azgana. Right? You start drinking this, it's pretty bad, no, pretty disgusting. But there is some element of ultimate hana. If I were to ask you why you're doing this, you'll tell me maybe nutritionally there's somewhat benefit for it, maybe it coats the stomach in such a way, but it's pretty disgusting, pretty bad when it's ingested. Good, so that's how the Egletal describes it, very much different from, right, the Chiddush of the Bach. The way the Bach assumes is no, there is some form of hanas garon initially without that element of hanas me'ayin. So according to the sheet of the Bach, that would mean that if you have a case of hanas garon without hanas me'ayin, so the Rambam sheet is that b'chi ha'gavna bracha b'shahako without an instance of the specific bracha. If that is the beer in the Gemara, perhaps this is related, not necessarily that it's exactly the same case, but related to the sugya earlier in Brachos and Daf Yedalid. That's where the Gemara discusses the case of mita emes. Now, where the Gemara mentions if a person goes ahead and tastes something, so eina teuna bracha. No bracha is necessary simply to taste. And the Gemara goes a step further, v'ashari betainis, toim ve'ein v'kach kun. So if a person is mita emes, no bracha at all is recited. What does mita emes mean? Tasting does not require a bracha. So if you look in Tosus and the Rosh and Asug in Brachos and Daf Yedal, they quote the view of Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel writes that it means toem mita emes, a person tastes, but upolate, and then he spits it out. That's the case of the Gemara. You taste without swallowing. So why is it that no bracha is recited? So Rabbeinu Hananel writes as follows. It's not considered to be hana, kevin she'eno nehene b'toch me'av. That's the lashon of Rabbeinu Hananel. There's no hanas me'ayin. All you did was taste, but then immediately you spit it out of your mouth. So in such a case, there's no hanas me'ayin. And as a result, right, no bracha, no bracha. So the Gemara says, in a case of mita emes, eino teuna bracha, Tosus quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, that's because that she'eino nehene mitoch mea. Poshup shat in Rabbeinu Hananel, that would seem to indicate that in order to recite a bracha, we insist on hanas me'ayim, hanas me'ayim. Poshup shat, one could argue that Rabbeinu Hananel is against our Rambam. Now, after all, the way the Bach understood our Gemara, that the problem with Shemin is that's not considered to be Hanas Miayin, but yet there is a form of Hanas Garon, so therefore, Rabbeinu Hananel writes, that's Mita Emes, where no bracha at all is recited. If you look at the Beis Yosef, in Reish Yud, when the Beis Yosef quotes, right, that's the good Mita Emes, that's exactly what the Beis Yosef writes, that a bracha is dependent on Achila, Dichsiv Achalta, and achalta is hanas me'ayim. That's what the Beis Yosef writes. Achalta, when it comes to dini brachos, is hanas me'ayim, and therefore towing upolei does not require any bracha. whatsoever? And that's the chiddush that the Beis Yosef writes in this bira, the sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel. The question is, would that fit with the Bach? The Bach writes in a case of shemen, right? You don't have the ultimate hana because azuki mazuklu, right? But nonetheless, there is initial hana. So according to Rashi, one could argue these sugyas are very good in the sense that in both instances, garon b'li me'ayim, you don't recite a bracha at all. But according to the Rambam, in the case of mita emes, there's no bracha whatsoever. In a case of argamer of shemen, the Rambam writes there's no specific bracha, but the bracha of shahakal is in fact necessary. So the Rambam clearly distinguishes between the sugya of mita emes as opposed to the case of shemen, where in shemen, yes, a brach is recited, albeit shahako. In the case of mitemes, no brach is recited. Say nachinami. When you look in the Rambam and Ochos Brachos and Karakala Falochabez, the Rambam understands the case of mitemes in a completely different fashion. The Rambam writes the case of mitemes is toim, leita im chaser melech. That's how he describes it. A woman is just tasting something to see if the dish is spiced properly or not. The Rambam writes that potur afilu imbalea. The Rambam writes, even if you swallow. Even if you swallow. So clearly the Rambam did not learn the sugya of mitemes in terms of hanas garam b'li hanas me'ayim. Now the Rambam writes that halacha mitemes, you know, tuna bracha, applies even if you swallow, right, that which you put into your mouth. Good? Apparently the Rambam understood as follows, that is not considered to be hanas achila. When a person, right, is tasting something only to see whether it is prepared properly or not, that is not the quality of achila that ever requires a bracha. Pashup shat that according to the Rambam was like neither hanas garon nor hanas miayim at all, and therefore no bracha is in fact recited. And therefore, in a case of shemen is quite different, where the Bach says according to the Rambam there is absolute hanas garon, there is hanas achila, albeit lebasov, right? Maziku. It's as though according to the Rambam one would have three halachos, and that is that if you have a case of mitames where the Rambam insists that that's not really called achila at all, that's not called derech achila, a person is not doing so for kavanas achila, so in such a case then there is no bracha. If you have a case where there is the initial hana, hanas garon b'li hanas miayim, so in such a case, that's what the Rambam writes, the bracha of shahako. In a typical case of achila, where both indeed are present, so that's where you make the more specific bracha. That would be the case, according to the Rambam Shita. But clearly, it's not only coincidental that the Rambam disagrees with Rabbeinu Chananel. The fact that the Rambam understood that sugya mitemes differently fits in very well with the Rambam in our Gemara. How, in fact, our case of shemen should be understood. If it's just hanas garam b'li hanas me'ayin, in such a case, the bracha of shahakal is in fact warranted. Why should that be so? Why should one argue that, look, that there's some measure of hana, and therefore the split, like the Kesem Mishnah says, you are nehene, but at the same time, azuki mazik luhu, so therefore, how do you understand that apparent distinction? So perhaps one could understand this in light of the following. We had mentioned that sugya chul and daf kuf gimel about achila b'chala Torah kulas. That defined in terms of hanas gara, defined in terms of hanas miayin, and we assume, as mentioned halach like Rabbi Yochanan, that hanas garon is considered to be the koveya. Is that always true? Is that always the case? So when it comes to maisa achila, clearly, that's when we assume that hanas garon, that is considered to be, right, the determining factor. But is it so clear when it comes to other instances? If you look, for example, in Minchas Chinuch, in Shin Yud Gimel, that's what the Minchas Chinuch discusses, achilas yom ha-kippurim. Achilas yom ha-kippurim. Is that dependent on hanas garon or hanas me'ayin? After all, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Torah never tells us that one is not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. The term achila, right, is never used at all. So to argue this is not called the Maisa Achila, how relevant necessarily is that? The Torah emphasizes v'inisim es nafshos eichem and kol ha'shalos se'une betzem hayom hazeh. So therefore, v'inisim, that is the chiyu, right? And the flip side is the iser, what the Gemara terms miyas v'daita, yisu v'edas, a person who revitalizes himself. Right? That is considered to be the iser. So the Gemara points out in the very end of Yuma that that's why the Shiran Yom Kippur is different. Achila b'chol ha'Torah kula always means a kazayis. If a person makes a shvua, shvua shlo ochal, so in such a case, right, the shir is a kazayis. The shir is a kazayis. And Rambam writes his chiddush in Perek Dal Achalav Elchol Shvuas. There's nisr chati shir, but the shir of the shvua, right, is a kazayis because shlo ochal, ochal means. Right, kazayis. If a person makes a neder where he doesn't mention the term achil at all, kana ma'kikar zeh, the shir is not a kazayis. And achila, right, that is what warrants that sense of kazayis. The Rosh is lying that is it necessary to eat a kazayis of maror? Maybe maror is only a zechel mikdash that doesn't require any kazayis. So the Rosh says, what do you mean? You acknowledge in the bracha of al achilas maror, so achila obviously must be a kazayis, the Rosh says. You have to make sure at the Seder night to have a kazayis of maror. Somewhat unclear exactly what does that Rosh mean. That the Shargazai is difficult beer, that maybe the mitzvah per se, one could have envisioned, doesn't require kazayis, but since Chazal or Kovei the Bracha Va'al Achilas Maros, you have no choice but to eat kazayis, Chiddush, that's really the beer harash, or no, the fact that Chazal or Kovei is such a bracha, that indicates, right, that the nature of the mitzvah is a mitzvah, achila requires a kazayis. So therefore, Yom Kippur, the shir is not a kazayis, the shir is a koseves, because the shir is one of Yisuvei Das. So it's mefurish, right, in the Gemara, that the shir is a larger one. It is mefurish in the Gemara, not so simple, but the Gemara just assumes, as the Rav Pashut, that the zman of achila is kedei achilas pras. Maybe one could have argued that the shir of kazayis tol kedei achilas pras is only when it comes to Yisuvei achila, only when it comes to kazayis. But here the Gemara writes the shir is koseves, but the shir is achila tol kedei achilas pras. But what about the other Dini Achila? Do all the Dini Achila apply to Yom HaKippurim? The Shagasari is Din. What about Derech Achila? If a person will eat something, Shalok Kederech Achila, is that a Ptur when it comes to Yom Kippur? If the Torah doesn't mention Achila, so is there a Ptur of Shalok Kederech Achila? Right? Or is there not? Rish Lakish, for example, writes the Chatzi Shir is Mutar Min HaTorah. Why is Chatzi Shir Mutar Min HaTorah? The Lashon HaGemara in Yom Ayin Dalet is Achila Amar Rachmana V'Lecha. How can you say Chatzi Shir is Asur? It's not called Achila. So maybe one could raise the issue, but what about on Yom Kippur where the Torah doesn't use the term Achila? So it's Mefurish and Bavli that according to Reish Lakish, Chatzi Shir is only Nisad Rabban on Yom Kippur. It's a little surprising in the sense that on Yom Kippur the Torah doesn't use the Achila. And the Gemara writes Yom Daf Ayin Dalet, the reason that Reish Lakish says that a chatzi shir of chelev is mutim in HaTorah is because achila amar achmana v'leka, and yet Reish Lakish extends this to Yom Kippur. Because if you look in Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi is found in Perek Vav of Maseches Trumos, Yerushalmi is mefurish that Reish Lakish agrees that chatzi shir is asur d'oraisa when it comes to Yom Kippur. And that's what the Gaon explains in Yerushalmi, because Pasuk doesn't use the term achila. And therefore, achila amar achmana v'leka, good when it comes to in Isra achila, but when it comes to Yom Kippur, when it comes to Yisuvei Das and achila not, and pachas mikashir, undeniably there's an element of Yisuvei Das. So achidish, right, that Yerushalmi writes mefurish, that Reish Lakish does not disagree with Yochanan when it comes to Yom Kippur. It's mefurish against the Bavli. The context of the whole machlokes, Reish Lakish, we have in Yuman Daf, Ayin Gimel Beis Ayin Dalet Aleph, when it comes to Achilas Yom HaKippur. So Mechassina writes the following chiddush. What about our issue? What about Hanas Garon and Hanas Meani? Right, what would the story be on Yom Kippur? Good. When it comes to B'cholat HaRakul, it's not called Achila B'li Hanas Garon, but how relevant is that to Yom Kippur? So Mechassina mentions the possibility, a great chiddush, that you be chayv Yom Kippur just for Hanas Meani. Not in addition to Achilas Garon. You also require Hanas Me'ayin. And Chaschech entertains the possibility, right, Mamish, that Hanas Me'ayin is the Koveya. If a person is nourished, if a person takes in the food, even if it's not done Al Yedei Achilo, right, the possibility that one could be Chayiv on Yom HaKippurim, because after all, that Shover Inui, right, that results in Yisuvei Das. That's the Chiddush that the Chaschech effects against. Achiezer points out, it seems to be against what the Gemara writes in Yuma. The Gemara raises the issue that according to Rebbe, Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, even B'li Tshuva. So the Gemara says, well, how is it possible to chayiv kares for eating on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is Mechaper. So one of the possibilities the Gemara has is, achal umtsa v'chanke. a person chokes on his food. I think Rav Chaim points out, choking on your food doesn't sound like hanos me'ayin. Choking on your food sounds like there was a maisa achila and it got dropped dead. No, and yet the Gemara says over poshut that for that you're chayim. No, it sounds from the Gemara that it's like other isurim, but that's the aura of the minchas chinuch, that maybe you need hanas me'ayin. Interesting possibility. Where else could one argue that this in fact is true, that hanas me'ayin is the kobeya? So if you look in that minchas chinuch in Shinir Gimel, you also look in Chassam Sofer in Kuf Chav Zayin. The CPS of Frank discusses this in the Great Kodesh, right, on Pesach in Simen Lamed Dalid. What about Birchas HaMazon? What about Birchas HaMazon? If the Pasuk mentions Ve'achalta but V'savata, this is according to Rav Rishonim, right, that you're only Chayiv Midarais and benching if you reach the level of Kedei Sviya. Kedei Sviya is just an Asgara. Just an Asgara. And Kedei Sviya has nothing at all to do with Hanas Me'ayim. So that's the Chiddush that the Achronim write, that perhaps when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, maybe everyone would agree that you require a hanas me'ayin in order to bench. At least to bench midaraisa. And maybe one could argue that even midrabanu and chazah were koveya benching for kazayis, but maybe it's the same quality of achila as the kain daraisa. So you don't need full sviya, but maybe you do require hanas me'ayin as well. In cases where the Torah emphasizes the impact of the achila, yisuvedas, Sviya. No, so maybe in those cases you wouldn't apply the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan that Hanas Goron is considered to be the Koveya. Some self-arise in that tshuva. When it comes to Matzah, he thinks the Reposhot, that Matzah is based on Hanas Goron. Right, the Vacha Veheki. Right, you wouldn't say you're not Yotzi the Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, even if one would argue you don't necessarily have to bench. Right, because benching is based on Sviya. Right, and the mitzvah sachilas matzah would not be true when it comes, let's say, to kiddush. We assume it's considered to be hanas garon. Hanas garon is considered to be shti, and that's considered to be that which is sufficient. I think in that shul, it's tzipei sarayim, Rabbi Kodesh, he discusses what about oneg. Interesting, oneg Shabbos. Now, as another example, right? The krasla Shabbos oneg. Oneg Shabbos is hanas garon. That's hanas garon. Isn't it mistaber in all those cases, right, where one speaks about kind of the benefit of? That even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you require, right, a measure of hanas me'ayin, an interesting possible chiddush, right? In other words, that in a case where you have hanas garon, b'li hanas me'ayin, right? So that would not be sufficient for Suda Shabbos. That wouldn't be sufficient for Suda Shabbos. For dalakosos hanas garon, but for kiddush requires kiddush b'makom suda. No? So therefore, that would not be called a kiddush b'makom suda because that's not called oneg. The koros b'shabbos oneg. Rosh Bam writes the kriya has to be b'makom oneg. Interesting possibility. Now, is that really the case, or is it not? I'm sorry, Pesach. Someone asks me that they ate so much of the shiurim as a result they threw up. They don't realize how many shilas that can result in that. Whether you'll say kiddush, whether you'll say darkosos, whether you'll say matzah, whether you have to bench. Now, all that's discussed in this in the Great Kodesh Lama Dalit, right? And in the Chassam Sofer and Kuchav Zayin. But again, but that primary issue, there are certain cases where the impact of is considered to be that which is critical. Now, so that's already that chiddush. When it comes to, I think, very mistaber, the chalta, the savata, that's a hanas garon. Hanas garon is considered to be sufficient. Oh, there, hanas me'ayin. One could argue not just hanas me'ayin, but in addition to ma'isafi, you need more than that. You need hanas me'ayin, which in fact is significant. See, this could be helpful, perhaps, right, in terms of the whole structure that we had discussed earlier. And that is the need for a specific bracha, we pointed out, is a result of the Kiyum Hodah. And that is very much rooted in, right, Kishu Soveh Mavarech, Kishu Reb L'Kol Shkein. That's rooted in the quality of Achila similar to Birchas HaMazon, similar to Birchas HaMazon. But Kol Anenev L'Bracha Kilum Al, so in such a case, not necessarily, right, undeniably, if there's a measure of Hanaz Garon, so a Matir, Matir is in fact needed. So maybe one could suggest this adding to our list of Achilas Bachos Mikashir, according to Rabbi Yonah, or the Truma Sedeshon of Achilas Tafel, right before the Achilas Ha'ikar, right? Maybe that's the Chiddush of the Rambam Shita when it comes to our Sugya, when it comes to the case of Achilas Shemen, where, right, the Gemara says mazaku, where the Rambam understood that mazaku means you don't recite the specific bracha, but nonetheless some matir certainly is considered to be necessary. There is a quality of hana, right? There is a hana's gara, right, which initially a person receives. But there isn't a full sense of hanas me'ayin the way the Bach understands the case of Shemen. And very then mistaber that, similar to the bracha achrona, right, that's not the quality of achila which would warrant, right, perhaps bracha achrona, or which would warrant the specific bracha rishona, but nonetheless, some form, right, a bracha is necessary, but Torah's matir. So again, that language of the Kesa Mishnah, that even though, our Gemara says, Azuz Gemazik, but nonetheless, Nenehu, and therefore a person is obligated to go ahead and to recite the particular bracha. It's an interesting possibility, right, within the Rambam Shita. Perhaps one of the makoros of the Rambam Shita is the Sugya and Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph, because there the Gemara describes, right, the case of Kimcha Desari. If a person has a form of kemach, which is made out of barley, so the Gemara writes that on that, kimcha desari, right, the person makes, right, a bracha of shahakol. Why exactly is that true? The Gemara says the following, that hoil v'kosha l'kukane, the Gemara says that since it's bad for the stomach, right, because as a result you develop some types of worms and so on that are with the barley, so maybe you would think that you don't recite any bracha whatsoever. So chamash malam, the Gemara writes that you recite the bracha of shahakol. So the Gemara is mafurish when it comes to the case of kimcha desare, that in such a case, right, a person makes a bracha of shahakol. Why is that true? You don't require a more specific bracha because the Gemara says that it's hard. It's hard on the stomach, right? So poshuv shav, the Rambam would understand that mamash hanosenes, no? That's exactly the chiddush of the Gemara. But here the Gemara says that it is kosher, meaning exactly parallel to the case of Shemen, that azuke mazik lehu according to the Rambam, and here the Gemara is explicit, right, that you recite the bracha of, right, shahakol. Now, Pashav Shat, that the Rambam could argue, that's the makar, right, where you see that when the Gemara says azuke mazik lehu, it doesn't mean that no bracha at all is recited. Right, but here the Gemara in Kimcha Desari, you have to recite a bracha of shakal. So you see that model where the bracha is notched down as a result of the case of mazik. According to Rov Rishonim, we have to raise what exactly is the difference, right, between the case of Kimcha Desari as opposed to the case that you find of Shemin. Right, but according to the Rambam, maybe they're exactly parallel. Right, using the Bach again, maybe one could argue as follows that. In the case of yayin, in the case of shemen, so in such an instance, there's no hanas meyayin, but there's absolute hanas gara. Right? What about the case when you have the kimcha desari? What happens in that particular case? Maybe there one could argue that there is some measure of hanas meyayin. There is some measure of hanas meyayin. When the Gemara says kosher l'kukine, it means kind of like a side effect. Now, the Gemara says you're going, right, to take in this type of stuff. Ultimately, it doesn't mean necessarily that there's no hanas miayin, the way the Bach describes it. There it means that there's a side effect. The Gemara says that it's something that a person can suffer from worms and so on. So in such an instance, right, on that, right, there is not only, right, hanas garon, there is a measure of hanas miayin with a latent, delayed side effect, as opposed to the case of shemen. Okay, but Pashup Shat and the Rambam Shita, right, perhaps one could argue, right, that in that instance, this is exactly parallel to our case, and therefore, this is the makar that you have the Rambam Shita that tells us that case is considered to be a different one. If you look in Rabbi Kiveger, in Drush B'Chiddush, Rabbi Kiveger writes the following Chiddush, and that is that when it comes to the cases of Shemen, it wasn't Nishtana L'Griusa, right, that's a case of mazaku, and therefore you don't recite a bracha. The reason in Kimcha Desare, right, that the bracha is reduced is because of nishtane. Right, right now, in this stage, right, it is absolutely inferior. And therefore, right, in the case of absolute mazaku, right, there you don't recite a bracha whatsoever. When the Gemara says that it's kasha, it just means that you've reduced it. You've taken something that now is in a stage where nishtar legriusa, and in such a case, then you don't recite the typical bracha, but then you're obligated to recite the bracha of shakal. But it's mentioned without these chilukim in order to miyashe. What's the difference between shemen as opposed to kimcha desari? Poshib Shah, one could argue that according to the Rambam Shita, that no, they're exactly the same instance, and perhaps that was part of the reason that the Rambam understood that when Argamar says azuki mazaklu, it means you don't recite the bracha sa'eitz, but nonetheless, the typical bracha of shakal is necessary to serve as a matir, and maybe that's based on the broadest application, that the chi of hodah one does not, that requires some form of anos me'ayin, similar to bracha chrona, but yet a matir in fact is necessary, and therefore the bracha of matir, the bracha of shakal. Okay. Next Monday I'm going to be coming in from out of town, so maybe we'll just start just a little bit later. I think like 11:15 I should be better. Okay.
It has a definite benefit.
Right. But it tastes pretty yucky. Yeah. So they take it for the traditional.
Yeah, traditional.